you're right. It was a regular calendar.
So I've always thought maybe the calendar was a calendar.
Would work.
Still work, and she was looking at it, that's what we had.
That's what everybody did.
Yeah.
Next week, so I guess it's about the same.
So February calendar will work.
It's more accurate than probably.
So that's what we're going by.
I just didn't want to be sitting here.
We gotta start reading some.
I don't think they're gonna be.
I've been told that before.
I'll have our stuff ready to go.
Yeah, and then he'll do the.
You have a reference. That's right.
So this is right.
How are you doing?
Fair.
Fair.
Yes.
Just fair. I was like, well, I was.
XT55.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
The first song selection that we will sing this evening, All Things Praise Thee. This is song 25, if there's anyone following along in our hymnals this evening. All Things Praise Thee, song number 25.
All things praise thee.
I'm sorry.
All things are ready.
That's, let's sing number 25 in our song books.
Okay.
Yeah, all things praise thee, song number 25.
Well, I didn't see. Yeah.
Didn't notice that I put the wrong song in the slide program. More of an invitation hymn there. Song 25, All Things Praise Thee.
All things praise Thee, Lord Most High, heaven and earth and sea and sky. All were for Thy glory made, that Thy greatness thus displayed. Should all worship bring to Thee, all things praise Thee, Lord, may we. All things praise Thee, night to night, sings in silent hymns of light. All things praise Thee, day by day, chants Thy power in burning ray. Time and space are praising Thee, all things praise Thee, Lord, may we. All things praise Thee, heaven's high shrine rings with melody divine. Lowly bending at Thy feet, seraph and archangel meet. This their highest bliss to be, ever praising, Lord, may we.
The song that we will sing before opening prayer this evening, song number 304. The song title, I Will Pray. Song number 304, I Will Pray. And then afterwards, Brother Hutchcraft will lead our minds in prayer.
Father, in the morning unto Thee I pray. Let Thy loving kindness keep me through this day. I will pray, I will pray. Ever will I pray. Morning, noon, and evening unto Thee I'll pray. At the busy noontide, pressed with work and care, then I'll wait with Jesus till He hear my prayer. I will pray, I will pray, ever will I pray. Morning, noon, and evening unto Thee I'll pray. bless the child tonight. I will pray, I will pray, ever will I pray. Morning, noon, and evening, unto thee I'll pray. Thus in life's glad morning, in its bright noonday, in the shadowy evening, ever will I pray. I will pray, I will pray, ever will I pray. Morning, noon, and evening, unto thee I'll pray.
Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer so thankful that we're able to meet tonight with our brothers and sisters and study your word and sing praises to you. Heavenly Father, we are also thankful for all of our blessings. There's so many that we can't count them. We pray you will bring strength and healing to all those of our number that are not able to be with us. We pray that the lesson we learned tonight will be able to apply to our daily lives and make us able to walk in the light of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we are so thankful, Heavenly Father, for his sacrifice and the Bible. All these things we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Our next song selection, Blessed Be the Tie, is the title found in our hymnals, and that song number is 76. Blessed Be the Tie, song number 76.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers, our fears, our hopes, our aims, our want, our comforts and our cares. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again. This glorious hope revives our courage by the way, while each in expectation lives and longs to see the day. From sorrow, toil, and pain, and sin we shall be free, and perfect love and friendship reign through all eternity.
If you would please mark our song of encouragement. That song that we will sing after this evening's lesson is 262. that song title, I Bring My Sins to Thee. 262, I Bring My Sins to Thee. That's an encouragement hymn that we'll sing later this evening. Once you have that song marked, the song that we will sing prior to this evening's lesson, His Grace Reaches Me. This is song 237 in our hymnals. His Grace Reaches Me, song 237.
Deeper than the ocean and wider than the sea is the grace of the Savior for sinners like me. Sent from the Father, and it thrills my soul just to feel and to know that His blood makes me whole. His grace reaches me, yes, His grace reaches me, and will last through eternity. Now I'm under His control, and I'm happy in my soul, just to know that His grace reaches me higher than the mountains and brighter than the sun. It was offered at Calvary for everyone. Greatest of treasures, and it's mine today. Sins were as scarlet, He has washed them away. His grace reaches me, yes, His grace reaches me, and will last through eternity. Now I'm under its control, and I'm happy in my soul, just to know that His grace reaches me.
Doug called me just a little bit ago and said he was sick this evening and is having some stomach issues. So you're stuck with me tonight. But I will do my best for a short notice. But, you know, we have a lot of opportunities. And I just wanted to start with this tonight, is that the lesson I'm going to present is continuance in Acts chapter 17. And we talked about Paul being run out of Thessalonica, I believe it was. Anyway, we also talked about him thinking back on the days that he was persecuting the Jews and how he must be felt at this time. Maybe he remembered earlier. Well, my point is tonight is that what I said on Sunday, we never, never, never need to be discouraged about standing up for Christ. We talked about that. We talked about we're not persecuted in any bad way that I'm aware of here in the United States. But that is not the same all over the world. There's a lot of places that you can be thrown into prison. We're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. There's a lot of places that you can be put to death for it in many different unpleasant ways. So we are very fortunate. And so the lesson tonight is never give up. Never give up. And as we start here in Acts chapter 17, I'll read a few verses here. We'll start in verse 10. And we went over that partially on Sunday, but we'll go over it again. Verse 10 says, "Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogues of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, they came there also and stirred up the crowds. Then immediately the brethren sent Paul away to go to the sea. Both Silas and Timothy remained there. So those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens and received a command from Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed. They departed." Now, for the ones that have been following along in the class all along, is this just not a repeat of what happened from the beginning of chapter 17 to the 9th verse? That in Thessalonica, the people went out and stirred up the evil people, as we call it for right now, and stirred them up to cause problems with Paul and Silas. I didn't ask this question last time, but I'm going to ask it now. Why did they have to get people from the marketplace to stir up against Paul and Silas? I don't think I asked that, but we're going to ask. Why did we do that? Why did they do that? Think about it for a minute. Remember, I just called them evil people? Maybe non-believers. The evil people would be people that would not truly accept God and God's grace that He is willing to spread and teach them. And therefore, if they're not willing to teach them, they're going to be against Him. Now, what did Paul and Silas do when they got to Berea? Went in the synagogue. Have we not talked about for the last two or three weeks that first thing they did, you go to the synagogue. Why did they go to the synagogue? Well, that's where they needed to teach the Jews. And they started with the Jews. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. They wanted to start with the Jews and to teach them the truth of what Christianity is about. Was they widely accepted wherever they went? No. And so that lesson we'll have to learn ourselves again and again and again. This is about not giving up. Now, where I'm going with this is that when they went to Berea, it was about 60 miles away. And we talked about this briefly last Sunday morning. It was 60 miles and they did not take the main road. And I told you last week, I believe it would take them about a month to get that far. But they did go by boat. But my point is that why didn't they take the main road?
I don't know what road they took, James. I haven't found anything in Scripture that
was in my study that they believe they didn't, because the people from Thessalonica was still following them and they probably would have thought they would be in danger. Now that is coming from the commentary, okay? It doesn't say anything about that in there. My point is that they had a reason to be careful. And so my point is to us, as we go out and teach, be careful. I think James already had an experience that he just said thank you very much and left. So that's really a good way for us to accept that and just go on and try to talk to the individuals that we can talk to. Now, that's really a recap of a lot of what we talked about last Sunday morning and the week before. So in verse 11, at Berea, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they were received the word with all readiness, searching the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. So as telling us that, I believe is another way that we can understand this is what we're supposed to do. I mean, I'm reading some of this, but read along with me. See if I'm making a mistake. It's not to find out if I'm making a mistake. Find out if it's true. Find out what the scriptures actually has to say to make sure that we're going down that same path that we need to go. There is so many different versions sometimes to what somebody wants to think the scriptures say. These individuals here, and this is why I want to encourage you, to encourage anybody that you encounter, when you get to that point, encourage them, read with you. Now, when we get to that point, there'll be plenty of opportunities, I guarantee it. James?
I got a kind of off-the-wall question here. We read later on in the scriptures, you know, they were told to go out and teach the gospel to the Jews first and then the Gentiles. Was there like a bunch of other religious groups that were categorized under the Gentiles? Were the Jews chosen because they were God's chosen people in the Old Testament up to the time of the cross?
The Jews were the chosen.
They were the chosen ones.
That's and the Gentiles was everybody else.
Right.
Huh?
Non-Jews.
That's correct. Non-Jews. That's
all the other religious factions would be underneath the Gentiles. Yes.
I don't remember where it's at, but if you remember right there.
Non-religious people.
Say what?
And non-religious people. It wasn't just about religion.
Yeah.
Everybody that wasn't a Jew.
Everybody that wasn't a Jew. Culturally, religiously, whatever. They were on it.
Okay, I'm good now.
No, that's exactly right. It's just the Jews and then everybody else.
Until the time of the cross and Jesus dies and then
everybody
at the same point
has the opportunity.
Opportunity to be on the same
That's point. Correct. Now we talk about, if you want to talk about opportunity, the opportunity is the ones that are willing, like the Bereans, to accept it. And that's why I was mentioning here about we will have an opportunity to teach in a loving manner by letting them read the scriptures, like in a Bible study, and in turn answer questions. You know, we have a lot of opportunities that we miss. That's what my point is with this here anyway. We have a lot of opportunities that we miss from time to time, and I think it is very, very sad that we do that. I had a gentleman here not too long ago that I was talking to and was asking him to come to church, and to make a long story short, he just said, well, I've been here, there, and yonder. I'm not going to mention where he's at. He said, they didn't like this and they didn't like this about me. I said, I'm not sure those are true Christians. And what I mean by that, he was trying, but in his younger days, he had gotten some tattoos, and he'd let his hair grow. That's not going to make him a bad person, because that's not what it talks about here in the scriptures. We have to spread it to all people. Let's read verse 12. again. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. I think we went over that earlier in another verse, and you know, when it says not a few, you know, that just the opposite. There was a lot of them, and a lot of the prominent women that actually believed. Now, I'm going to ask a question. I know everybody here knows the answer, but for the audience, I want to ask this. What does the believe mean? What does that mean?
Trust.
What?
Trust.
Trust? What does it mean as we are talking to here about where they're being taught? They believe the word, right? So they believed to accept Christianity. They believed in Christ. They believed in repenting of their sins and being baptized. It doesn't say that in this verse. But we have covered all those things prior to today, from the beginning of Acts till here. We've covered it several times. So that's why I want to bring it up right now, is that that's what that means. And then, just like I told you a few weeks ago, everybody's at a different stage, and you can't start a kindergartner out or a junior high person out to be get his doctor's degree. They have to consistently go through each and every step to get the education so they'll understand what they're talking about. Dave?
Belief begins in the internal mind of the person hearing something. It's a mental acknowledgement that they understand and come to an acknowledgement that what they're being told is the truth. Then belief manifests itself in actions that align with that fact. So if I believe that Jesus has come, risen, that he came as a God in the flesh, he lived a sinless life, and he taught us how to live, and he died for my sins. And if I'm guilty of sin because of my own sins, and I'm told what I must do to relieve that, if I really believe that, then it will manifest in actions according to that. Otherwise, I do not truly believe.
Thank you, Dave. But the belief here, I believe still, is that they were changing from being Jews to believing in Christianity. And David, you walked us through step by step, and I appreciate that. You know,
if my neighbor comes and knocks on my door and says, your house is on fire, if I really believe him, I'm going to get out. If I don't, I'm going to go back in there and
go about your business.
Either burn it up or he was lying, you know, one or the other. It will result, true belief will result in action.
Yes, thank you, Dave. Anybody else? Okay, verse 13. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, they came and they also stirred up the crowds. Now, I have something very interesting I want to ask here. They had learned that the word of God was preached by Paul. I got a question. Why would they even say that if they didn't believe that the word of God was being preached by Paul?
I think that's the writer's inspiration by the Holy Spirit saying that. I don't think the people who were doing the troublemaking there believed it to be the word of God.
Right.
Just exactly. Like Paul didn't believe all those Christians that he was hauling off to jail, who probably had some long talks with him about how he was making a terrible mistake, and you know, this Jesus that he was trying to persecute and put down, this Christianity, was really true. Paul believed they were really wrong. He didn't believe what they were teaching was, and talking to him about was correct.
And that's what's going on exactly right here.
Yeah.
And that's why I started out with Paul in some of these verses that we're going to read may see himself here. He may stop and think about what he had done.
I
just know that he's probably being more careful than he normally would.
Paul was not just trying to... I think you're exactly right. Paul was not just trying to win arguments. Paul was trying to win souls.
Correct.
He recognized he was lost.
Yes.
Prior to his conversion. He thought he was saved, but he was lost. He sees these Stoics and these Epicureans and some from Thessalonica, these Jews that were coming to tell others, quit believing what he's saying, he's telling you wrong. He probably saw himself in some of those. And he was concerned not only that they weren't coming to the truth and leading people down the wrong path, he was concerned for their very own soul, just like his. You know, he was the perfect person to engage with people like this.
I often wonder, not in his early days, but in his later days like now, of his preaching, whether or not people looked at him and said, is this still the Saul that persecuted us? Or with the non-believers, why has he switched over? Why did he change? Well, here's what the answer is. If they were listening to his lessons that he provided, they would know the answer. And what I believe that there was people that didn't want to know the answer. They were fine where they were. Therefore, if I'm fine where I'm at, why do I need you to confuse me with the truth? As some people would say. So, the Jews, some of them, did not want to change. There's people today you're going to encounter that do not want to change. Now, is change good? It depends on the change. And this change was very good. And once again, now they did this in Thessalonica, and now they're doing it in Berea. They immediately, this is verse 14, the brethren sent Paul away to go to the sea, and both Silas and Timothy remained, so that who can conduct Paul's brought him to Athens and received the command of Silas and Timothy to come with him. You know, Paul, let's not forget this, Paul is being chased by the non-believers. So he accepted to go on. Now, once again, let's refer back to our sheets here, and I'll express this again to everybody tonight. These are from the evangelism book in the back. These are very, very simple questions, but I thought it doesn't hurt to go over them again. In verse, it'd be number 7. I want to start with 7. Number 10, 8. Sorry. Number 8. This is in verse 10. Paul and Silas were sent to what city?
Berea.
Why was he sent to, they sent to Berea? Why did he go there? Because Thessalonica, I didn't hear what she said.
To teach.
Yes. 9. Why did Paul and Silas do, what did they do when they arrived?
Went to the synagogue.
This is at least the third time that they've mentioned this in chapter 16 and 17 here. Remember, to the Jew first is his philosophy. And that's what it tells us in the scriptures, okay? Number 10. Why were these more noble than the Thessalonians? That we're talking about, this is in verse 11. The question is, why were these more noble than the Thessalonians? I can't hear you.
They searched the scriptures.
Well, before they could do that, what did they have to do?
Receive the word of readiness.
Receive the word. And in the verse here, it says more fair-minded. That means that they were prepared to listen to what is being taught. And therefore, they searched the scriptures to find out if it was so. That's fair enough. You couldn't ask anybody else more than that. It had to have been from the scrolls because there wasn't a regular Bible, and there would probably be scrolls there for them to read from.
Did they get them where they are before Paul came, or did Paul bring them?
That I cannot answer. Does anybody have that answer?
Well, they were in synagogues, so many of the synagogues would have had some of the different parts of the Old Testament, particularly the laws.
Well, that's what I thought.
And you know, they would have had some of the prophets. I would imagine many times if we see when the gospel is preached early on, especially to Jews, just like on Pentecost there, Peter started with going back through the patriarchs and said, you know, hey, remember when we were in Egypt, we were told we were going to get this Messiah and so forth and all these things back all the way from Abraham. You know, they go back, you know, we're going to have this Messiah come, all the earth will be blessed. Well, this has been fulfilled in Jesus. They would often start there because the Jews had a problem with, you know, Jesus of Nazareth being the Christ, being the Messiah. You know, we're looking for this great military leader to run these Romans out of here and set things back right.
We talked about that
and
last week, Dave.
That
thanks.
That wasn't happening. You know, this can't be this carpenter's son.
And, that's right.
So he would go back through and go through some Old Testament scriptures to point to these things, and then he would probably talk about some of these. You've heard reports about these miracles that nobody can deny. Even some of these probably some Jewish leaders here amongst them might have seen some of these things happen. Well, what more can you draw a conclusion about Jesus? He's God's son.
One of the things, George, you're probably asking is how did these individuals get the scriptures? And so if it's in the synagogue, it was probably okay for them to go and get them and read them. And that's why where they would search. It had to be there because there was copies, but not like today about running off a book. It just, each synagogue, like David said, would have to have had a copy, which would have took quite a bit of time since those were all handwritten.
My one thought was that they made an effort to find out what the Old Testament said about this Christ that Paul is talking to them about.
Right.
They didn't have Google.
That's right.
I searched through all those old scrolls. They got them out.
Well,
so they laid them out on the table and started reading.
They searched them.
It took some diligent effort. Absolutely. For sure.
They searched the scriptures to find out if they were telling them the truth.
So I think that might be one reason that Paul says that they were more noble-minded. They had a mind that would accept what the Old Testament said, and leading into Christ coming.
Another way to say that also is that they were interested and what the truth was. And therefore, when they are interested, they're going to accept it. And as they accept it, they can take that into their heart. And that's probably also why it's called noble-minded. Because another was fair-minded, which means they're willing to listen to what's being said. Then, as it says here in the scripture, they went and searched to find out if this was true. That has to be the reason that so many people were convinced in Berea, because of their fair-mindedness that Paul and Silas taught the truth. They found the truth in the scriptures. Therefore, they had to do but one thing, and that's to believe what is being taught.
Paul engaged people, as we'll see later here. Paul engaged people where they were at.
Yes.
He went to the Jews and said, okay, we believe Abraham and Moses and all, okay, and Elijah and all. Okay, well, let's go back there and look at what they wrote about. You know, Isaiah, what they wrote about this Messiah. Then when he goes on Mars Hill and sees all these idols, so he went from Judaizing teachers who's been following him around, days. He's engaging with all these people on Mars Hill that are Stoics and Epicureans and these philosophers. But and he says, man, I can see y'all. He does a great job. Man, I can see y'all are very religious. So much so, you got this one statue here to this unknown God. I want to tell you about him. So he does a fantastic job.
And gets mad here in a little while too. Anyway, number 12, who do they leave behind him? We know that was Silas and Timothy. Where did he go? Where did Paul go?
Athens.
Here's the rest of it. Okay.
Jake, we have a lot of our New Testament that's letters written by Paul to these different cities. Kind of a shame, really, that we don't have one written to the Bereans. That'd be a good read, I think.
Well, to me, the few words that he spoke here spoke a lot.
Yeah.
Think about that for a second. It spoke a lot.
I mean, he's teaching to the Jews, and the Jews are receptive to him. And you didn't see that everywhere he went. It says in both verse 10 and in verse 14 that he was sent away by the brethren. So there was a church existing in that community, in both of those communities. In Thessalonica, Jason was a part of it. And here in Berea, we're not listed any individuals by name that are Berean Christians. But they certainly existed, or it wouldn't have said that the brethren sent them away. I don't think that's talking about his Jewish brethren. Could have been, perhaps, but in all probability, I think that's talking about Christians.
One of the things I wanted to ask tonight, and I wanted everybody to think of this for a second and ask yourself. James made a point here, and I wanted to ask this anyway, but I'm glad you brought it up again. There's not much said about the Bereans, right? But if Paul was talking about Harrisburg, would he say the same things? Are we like the Bereans? Here's what my point is that we need to be like these individuals. Search the scriptures and help one another as much as we can. Our brethren are in outreach to individuals. And, you know, we have been told that many times in the scriptures in several different places. You know, one place was back in the end of the 28th chapter, of last few verses of Matthew, where it says to go and teach all. Who was he talking to? Everyone in here. He wasn't talking to just me or just David or James Oliver or something like that. He's talking to everybody to do the will of God, which is to teach Christianity. And so back on the question is that would we be talked about like the Bereans were? And to me, like I said, there's only a few couple of verses or three here, you know, that talk about them, and nothing else is said in these verses anyway. What is said is a lot. There was somewhere else I'd read that I think the Bereans had actually reached out and helped Paul and Silas with funding to go and preach. And the commentary, I think, said that the Thessalonians didn't do that. So compare ourselves to the Thessalonians and the Bereans. Which one do you want to be? Are you wanting to be the one that's more open-minded and read the scriptures and study the scriptures and to help one another? Or do you want to be one that's selfish, that doesn't want to help, and doesn't want to continue the gospel like the Bereans did? I'm not saying they didn't, but when we looked at... that was the Corinthians. When we looked at them, how selfish they were because they was talking about themselves all the time and putting themselves on a pedestal and I'm better than you are and I'm better than you and I've got this stature and I've got that stature. Is that who we're supposed to be? Paul corrected them. Paul corrected them and told them James.
I think to answer your question, I think it's possible that we think we are like the Bereans and all of our religious neighbors are not. Right? We think, well, we're open to searching for real truth. And it might be that we're less like the Bereans than we think we are. That we believe what we believe because someone convinced us of that, and we need to look at ourselves under the same microscope that God does, and you know, really challenge ourselves with our faith. Why do we believe certain things? Is it because our parents did, our grandparents did, good friends did, or is it because we have truly searched the scriptures like the Bereans? If we're doing that, then I think we're fair-minded too. But if we're not, then we're just as maybe fortunate to have received truth, but we're really no different than any of our religious neighbors if we're not that way.
You know, that's exactly right. That's what I'm trying to get across here, is that we have still a lot of growing to do, no matter what level we're at. I'm reminded of a young lady this week that I talked to, and I asked her certain questions, and it's just because I want to be the best Christian I can. The subject is irrelevant. The answer is what's relevant. The best Christian I can. That was the answer. Where's that person's pathway? Think about that for yourself there for a minute. Where is that person's pathway? Are they thinking of being selfish? Or are they thinking of others first? Okay, they are. Because I want to be the best Christian I can. That describes a Christian. That's about all I have right now.
James makes a point there, and I think if we're not careful, you know, the Jews thought they had a special relationship with God.
Yes.
Because they were Abraham's descendants. But God, you know, told them that, you know, he could raise up stones to be children. That it wasn't the bloodline that made them have a special relationship. It was them receiving God's instruction and following it. Jews from the heart, not Jews from the blood. And the same thing can be said of us. I wasn't raised in the church, so I can't claim like much of you, many of you that have had generational teaching and that kind of thing. So I hope to start a new lineage that my children and my grandchildren and can remember when Papa David, you know, great grandpa David or whatever, you know. But at the same time, my faith cannot save them. And my children and my grandchildren and my great grandchildren are going to need to come to God on their own. That faith has to, it can't be Papa David's faith. It has to be their faith. And that's the way it is for all of us. Is it's great to have a family tradition that's in the church. It's great to have that. But that's not why we're saved. We're saved because we obey God and we search those scriptures and we believe that is what those scriptures teach us is truth. And then we obey that individually. And we come to God by faith, not by our family lineage. We may have some good tools and some good examples and some proper teaching, which is all good. But it all comes down to our individual response to that. And we can't feel like we've arrived, you know. We have to keep pursuing that, just like Paul did.
Thank you, David. That's very good. T. to go along with that is that we've talked about our beliefs tonight. We've talked about where we need to be with that. We've also talked about where we need to go with that. David mentioned it quite a bit just a few minutes ago, is the belief is where we start. And if we start there, what's next? Well, if it pricks us in our heart enough that we know that we're wrong, we need to repent, don't we? And we also need to be baptized for that. If we have gone the wrong direction, we also need to repent of whatever we have done, whether what we sinned against God, or what we need to do is to make sure that we stay in good standards. This is what this lesson's been about, and this is what this invitation is that I'm giving right now, is that where is your faith right now? Have you failed? Are you not like the Bereans here? Are you one of the Jews that don't believe? What I mean by that is that you've fallen away in some way that has caused you to sin. If there's anything we can help you with, come forward as we stand and sing, and we'll pray with you if it needs to be.
I bring my sins to thee, the sins I cannot count, that all may cleansed be from my once open fount. I bring them, Savior, all to thee. The burden is too great for me. The burden is too great for me. I bring my grief to thee, the grief I cannot tell. No word shall need it be, thou knowest all so well. I bring the sorrow laid on me, O suffering Savior, all to thee. O suffering Savior, all to thee. My life I bring to thee, I would not be my own. O Savior, let me be thine ever, thine alone. My heart, my life, my all I bring to thee, my Savior and my King. To thee, my Savior and my King.
I have a couple announcements I want to bring to everybody's attention this evening. One is that Doug said he wasn't feeling well tonight. Let's pray for him that he recovers and quickly and in good health so he can be back with us on Sunday. Ashley is getting an MRI this evening. That's why the family's not here, is she's getting her MRI on her ankle. Is that correct? Okay. And also, Pearl is going to have an appointment for them, the doctors, to look at her stomach. She's got a stomach issue of herself there, and they're going to look at that and see what is needed to be done with that. So let's pray for Pearl. She has one, I believe it's later in this month. Is that not? That's okay. So let's pray for Pearl that they actually find nothing and everything's okay. Or if nothing, maybe just some medicine can take care of what her illness is on that. We didn't mention it Sunday, but I'll remind everybody tonight, this Saturday we spring forward. We spring forward. So if you plan to come in at 9:30, make sure it's the right 9:30, because it will be an hour earlier. So I want to remind everybody that. I hope everybody that's listening reminds themselves of that also, because it's early. We used to do it a little bit later, but now it's toward the 1st of March instead of in April. Is there anything else that needs to be in mouth, Jamie?
I just wanted to say real quick that, you know, everybody measures success in different amounts, but this program that we started, Doug and I went out yesterday, and one lady didn't have an address, so we called her and talked to her on the phone. And she said that the outpouring of compassion that we had was overwhelming. That she had received the cards and she just couldn't believe that that many people would take time to send her a card, and that she wanted to come back. She was more than happy for Doug and I to come by, but she doesn't live in her own house right now. She lives with somebody else. So then we did go and visit one that we had an address for. And when she answered the door, she kept it about that open. And Doug told her who he was, and he said, you know, we're from the church that's been sending you the cards. And the door come wide open, and she said, y'all come on in. Mm-hmm. And so we did get invited in. She also said that the cards meant a lot to her, and she agreed to have a Bible study.
Amen.
So, to me, that's success.
Yes.
It's on a small level right now, but we just got started, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so it shows that we're out doing things. We've got more people being active than we have been active before, right? And we got people agreeing to have Bible studies. And I think the more it goes and the more contacts we get, the more cards we send. So thank you to the ladies and the men that have been sending the cards. It's working. It got us invited inside.
There you go.
Does anybody need a ride?
Jamie, go ahead.
Does either one of them desire to come here and need a ride?
So the one girl said that Mike and Melissa was going to stop and get her, and if they didn't, that she would call me or Doug one and get a ride. I told Deborah on the way here, you know, a lot of people don't see this, but this girl's living over here in an apartment. She was homeless, so she at least has an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
She got a job, but the bus don't come by the apartment complex. Mm-hmm. And y'all know where the high rise is up here. Well, she got a job at Celine Care,
oh, yeah,
which is on the other end. She gets off at 10 o'clock at night, and she's having to walk. So you can imagine tonight if it's thunderstorming or whatever, but as close as the bus gets is the plaza. And anyways, the whole money situation, because now that she's got a job, she's losing all of her food stamps, and her rent's going to go up. And it's just hard. When people get down as low like that, it's hard to get, no matter how hard they try, it's hard to get back up without help. But we had that conversation with her also. But she did agree to a Bible study this coming week, so.
Jamie,
can you do some work? I can. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for another night and another wonderful study. We thank you for the contacts that you've put in front of us and the willingness that this congregation has showed to make efforts to soften people's hearts so that when we do go visit, we can get invited in and spread your word with them. And we're just thankful that someone has agreed to a Bible study and that we may take them from a lost state to a saved state with your word and what you've done. Heavenly Father, be with the sick. Doug's not here tonight. We pray that he'll get to feeling better. Naoma, Dustin, we pray that Naoma get to feeling better and be able to be back with us. Pearl, as she goes to the doctor and has test runs, we pray that everything will come out okay with that and the doctors will be able to treat whatever's going on. All these things we ask in your name and we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Did you say something to me?
No, sure.
I could go with somebody.